Let's just pray, shall we, as we come to look at passage from the Bible. Father, thank you. You know everything. There's nothing hidden from you. And so we pray, Lord, as we come to share our time together, may your word be what it is, that sharper than any double-edged sword, that reaches into the parts of our lives, Lord, that others may not be aware of. But Lord, we ask your blessing. Pray you help us as we come now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is the third and final part of the series I was looking at on the connection between faith and works. We're to believe and we're to do, and the two things are meant to go together. And a good verse that summarizes that up is this verse in James chapter 2 verse 26. Do you know it? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. That's what James is saying. It's no good saying you believe and it doesn't make any difference. That's not believing. It makes a difference when you believe in God, who is almighty, and Jesus' precious blood that cleanses us from sin. If that doesn't make a difference, nothing will. Yeah. Okay, so let's have a look at our next one, please. This is the passage I want to share with you. It's a very, very challenging passage in many ways. It comes from Matthew 25. This is Jesus talking about the end of time. And he says this: when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him. So that's speaking about, you know who the Son of Man is? That's Jesus. Messiah is the term really means. When he comes back in glory. So he's not coming back as a baby, he's coming back as the glorified Jesus, the risen glorified Jesus. And who's accompanying him? His angels. Right, so this is God's Son, right? God himself in the person of his Son, and he's going to sit on his throne, and the throne is the throne for judgment, and all the nations will be gathered before him. How about that? Mm-hmm. Now, I had a friend many years ago when I told him about this verse. He said, how are we going to do that? There's millions and millions, billions of them now, people, isn't there? And all those who've lived and so on, if you get all them gathered before the Lord, how are you going to do it? And my answer was, not my problem. If he can create a universe, I think he can manage to get us all together in one spot, don't you?
There's a lot of sky.
There's a lot of sky, yes. So, the nations are going to be gathered before the Lord. That's the thing. And that means, dear friend, that's you as well as me. We're all going to be there. It's going to be a big meeting, isn't it? We're all going to be there. Right, the next one, please. He says, he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Jesus was talking to people who were very familiar with the agriculture of their day. They had goats and sheep all over the place, of course. And he's using this illustration, and that's why I put in bold, he will separate the people as a shepherd. Yeah, we're not talking about goats and sheep. You've got that. Yeah, I did that many years ago, and someone said, he's not talking about sheep all the time. I'm not talking about goats and sheep. They are a picture of people. Different types of people, different groups. He said he's going to separate them as a shepherd does. A shepherd has a flock of goats and sheep, and what he does is he separates them at some time and puts them one in one place and one in the other. You got the picture. Right? So the goats are going where? On the left. And the sheep are on the right. We've got a mix of goats and sheep here. Can you separate them? Do you know what a goat looks like and what a sheep looks like? Right, okay. Well, do you know what a goat person looks like? And a sheep person looks like? What are you going to find out? You're one or the other. Yeah? You are one or the other. You're either a goat or a sheep. Yeah? Right. And it's not about the way you look either. Now listen, please. Yeah? Then the king will say to those on his right, those are sheep. You got that? Good, you got that? He says to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Wow. So our Lord says to the sheep, welcome. And the interesting, amazing thing about this is that you've got an inheritance as a sheep. You've got God's blessings, God's provision. And he says, The kingdom was prepared since the creation of the world. Prepared for you. Now, does that tell you something about God's foreknowledge of you? He knew you before he made the world. He knew you before the world was made. And he knew you before you were born. Do you think he knows you now?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yes. Right, so, he's prepared this kingdom for the whole in glory. And that tells us something about God's heart as the creator. Why did God make anything and create anything, everything? It's because he wanted to have fellowship. Not that he was short of fellowship. There's the Father and the Son and the Spirit who've got fellowship within themselves. But God wants to share what he's got. Fellowship. And so he wanted to make a people to love him and to know him and be blessed. And here are the sheep. Welcome into the kingdom. Wonderful. And this kingdom is a kingdom that will go on forever. We'll see in a moment. Right, next one please. He says this. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Now notice about the things that Jesus is commending them for. Their actions. Things that they did. He doesn't call anybody a prophet, a priest, or a minister, or anything else like that. They have their bits and pieces to do, of course. But this is about the things that you and I do. Yeah? And he says, I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. You blessed someone with food, right? And Jesus says, he's taking it all on board as done to him. It's amazing, eh? Right. How are you doing on the doing?
Eh?
Room for more. More doing, but well, we'll see how it goes. Next one please, yeah? Right. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? Well, the chap's got a rather puzzled look on his face. And what's the significance of that is amazingly true and important. It's that what they were doing, they weren't aware that they were doing it for Jesus. That's number one. But I don't think they were keeping a record of it either. You know, they just got on with doing what they were doing because that's what they do. And Jesus notices what they've done and counts it as done to him and for him. And that's the wonderful thing about when, as a Christian, you're doing things. I hope you don't do it, and you don't have a little catalogue at the end of the day and say, I did this, I did that, I did that, I did the other. Brownie points, here I come. That's not what it's about. They're doing this unconsciously. They're not aware of why they did it or what they did it for. It's just, that's what you do when you're a sheep. Is that right?
Yeah.
And the sort of things are, you feed the hungry. Yeah. You help people in need. Do we give permissions and things like that to help the hungry? Thirsty, give them something to drink. Those that do the tea for me, you're getting a blessing. So am I, of course, yes. When you see a stranger and then invite him in, yeah, people make them welcome. That's, Jesus recognises that as well, it's done to him. And needing clothes, well, do we provide, I mean, there's the work in Armenia, people send out clothing and stuff like that to clothe people out there who are in dire straits. You know, that's part of that care for each other. And sick, do you visit them? You wear a mask when you go, of course, don't you? Unless, well, if they're infectious, you would, wouldn't you, I suppose? But, you know, people when they're not well do appreciate a visit, do they? Or a phone call or something like that. If Jesus was around when the technology was up to today, he'd have said, you gave me a call. Yeah. In prison. Why were they in prison? Because they'd done a bank?
No.
They were in prison because they were following Jesus. They were being persecuted. That's what he's getting at. Of course, you can count it as in prison. If you go in prison and tell a prisoner who's not a believer about the Lord Jesus and they become a believer, I think that counts too, don't you?
Yeah.
So Kairos is part of that as well. You've got the idea. So they don't recognise why what's going on, but they've done what they've done, and the Lord Jesus counts it as part done to him. Right, next one please. The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Yeah, so he says, make it quite clear, whatever you did for them, you've done it for me. That's amazing. And it's for these brothers of mine. If you do it to a Christian, Jesus recognizes that you're caring for your fellow brothers and sisters. Yeah. If you do it to a non-Christian, well, I think that counts too, don't you?
Yeah.
So Jesus is saying, whatever you've done for somebody, you do it for me. That's how closely bound we are, and Jesus is, with this thing that's going on, in living out our faith. It's an action thing as well. Right, next slide, please. He will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So these are the goats. Yeah. And Jesus says to them, go away. That's terrible, isn't it? Go away, you who are cursed. Yeah. Yeah. And they brought curses on themselves, dear friends. That's the problem. Yeah. Into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That's called hell, if you didn't believe in it. Jesus believes in hell. And he says, it was prepared for. Now, contrast this. Jesus says, for you people who are sheep, he's prepared a kingdom from the beginning. Yes? It says, he's prepared hell. But who did he prepare hell for?
The wicked.
Not for the wicked. Not to start with. Yeah. It was for Satan, for the devil, and his fallen angels. God made hell for the devil. Right? It doesn't have to have people in it. It certainly will have Satan in it, and his angels, his fallen angels. It doesn't have to have people in, but it will, because they don't do what they do. Should do. And so, that's terrible. Go to hell. Literally. That's terrible, isn't it? Yeah. Doesn't bear thinking about, really, but Jesus said it, so it's right, it's true.
That way, if you don't know
your health,
you won't know
your health. Yeah. Yeah. Next one, please, yeah? And he says, this is the reason. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. I'd like to make it even worse than that. You know, people do those sorts of things, and they'll still go to hell. Do you know why? What's the problem? Do you know, what's the problem with this? I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. Do you know why? Because it's self all the time.
Yeah.
I'm looking after me, my and mine.
Yeah.
Yeah? And you can be quite nice and kind to people and still be terribly selfish. It's strange, isn't it? Yeah? What's the problem with the goat is self is in charge. That's basically it. What's the problem with them is that Jesus isn't Lord. Jesus isn't in. Jesus doesn't count. And so, if you don't want Jesus, Jesus will respect your decision and you'll never have Jesus. That's terrible, isn't it? Well, that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Okay, so self rules means self goes to hell. Next one, please. They will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? Because if Jesus had come and put labels on people that were sick and needing help, and if he put a label on them saying, I'm Jesus, they might have started doing something, because you get brownie points for doing it, because it's obvious, you know, you're doing it because it can be seen. That's what Jesus said about the Pharisees. All you do is so everybody can see it. When you make a dip, and back of the box while you're doing it. Yeah? And all that sort of stuff. That's not what it's about. And they, if they could have seen it being done like that, they'd have done it. But Jesus says, it's the insignificant, the unimportant, the stuff that doesn't count as far as the world's concerned. You didn't do it. And so, there's no reward. Right. When didn't we do it? Next, please. And he will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. That's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I suspect for all of us, you know, there are probably some bits that have fallen off our list of to-dos as well, haven't they?
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully we've got more on our to-do list than left off. Yeah. Next slide, please. They will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So that's what he's spelling it out. An eternal punishment. That's, put your head around those words just for a few minutes. It's not really nice thinking about. Eternal means forever. In other words, there are people who teach, Christians who teach, when you die as a non-believer, God exterminates you. So that's the end. Yeah? Annihilation, they call it. Yeah? Jesus doesn't teach that. Eternal means forever. Yeah? And it's eternal punishment. In this instance, yeah. Eternal punishment. That means forever. I don't like that thought at all. Yeah? If I could rewrite the Bible, that wouldn't be it. Yeah? The Jehovah's Witnesses did that because Joseph Smith. Was it Joseph Smith was the founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses? No, it wasn't. Mormons.
Charles Russell.
It was Russell, yes. Russell was convinced by a man. He was worried about hell, was Russell, Jehovah's Witness man. He was worried about hell and somebody convinced him that hell didn't exist. He was really happy about that and went on to found the sect that we now know as the Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, he could be convinced, but I'm telling you, he'll find out. It's true. Jesus says so. There is such a thing as eternal punishment. Terrible. Terrible. Why does Jesus tell us about it? To keep out of it. That's why. Yeah? It's like someone going towards the edge of a cliff. You know? And they're blindfolded, but they're heading towards the cliff. And you know it's there. What's your duty? To tell them. Yes? Because if you don't, then they fall off, as they will. Then you're partly responsible. So Jesus tells us it's there in order that we get out of the problem and find eternal life. So eternal punishment is one for the goats, but the righteous to eternal life. Now, isn't that interesting? The righteous. Yes. Are you righteous? Well, the Bible says there's no one righteous, no, not one. Yeah? Ha! Right. You've got it. It's not you that's righteous in one sense. It's he that's righteous that puts his righteousness on you. And, this is the important bit, what Jesus puts on you works its way in you. Yes? It's called, well, let me put it in the theological term, just some theology for you. The righteousness on you is called justification. God declares you not guilty, sin-free, forgiven. That's God declaring that because you put your faith in Jesus, forgiven, not guilty. Do you know, that's what my dear Jean said when she first became a Christian. What was her first emotion reaction was? Relief. Yeah? I don't have to earn this. It's free. It's forgiven. I am forgiven. Well, that's part one. But God doesn't save you and then put you in a glass jar and put you on the shelf. Right? What does he do? He gets you working. And he wants you to work God's way rather than self-way. And that's called sanctification. So we get righteousness on you and then righteousness be worked through you, sanctification. That's the righteous. They are righteous not in themselves, but righteous through grace and through faith, and then righteous because they're doing what God wanted them to do by the power of the Spirit. You got it? And where do they go? Where do the sheep go? Eternal life. You know what eternal means? You get this, don't you? Eternal means forever. Yes? And what does life mean? That's a question we'll only be able to answer when we get there. Jesus said, I've come to bring life. Yeah? Glory, light, goodness, grace, all of that. It's all there. That's on the list. You got it? Have you got eternal life?
Yes.
Hope so.
Working towards
it. Working towards. Well, eternal life comes in, it's what did they say? How did they do it in the selling things, you know? You have a package now, and then you get the whole lot later.
Buy now, pay later.
Well, there's no pay later, but you get now. Yeah. Right. Someone put it like this, it's a silly little phrase, but it's worth remembering. Heaven isn't gravy on the plate. No, heaven isn't pie in the sky. No, heaven isn't pie in the sky, something away. It's gravy on the plate while you wait. You're going to taste of it now. Right, so, but, Brothers and sisters, if you think this is eternal life, you've got another thing coming.
Yeah.
Eternal life is seriously good. Yeah.
Well, we need that security. I mean, it's like Peter,
exactly.
Peter and people like that were trying to teach, because he knew what his end would be,
yes.
Didn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, we need to know the security of what we have in order to face the stuff the world will throw at you.
Yeah.
That's really important. Right, next thing please. Right. So this is just a summary of what this passage means. It's really just to gather things together. I've got some verses that illustrate it from other parts of the Bible. What we do, what we do, not to be seen, but because we show the Lord's heart in us. Is that right? Well, most of the time, but maybe we do attempt to do a little bit of pride. We'd like to be noticed, wouldn't we? Yeah. Is that right? You do what you do, but you're glad when they notice as well. Well, all right, we'll let you off. But the real heart of it is we do what we do not to be seen, just because it's God working in us. Yeah, he prompts us to do things for his glory. And so Jesus says this, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Yeah? Let your light shine before men. So people can see what you're doing, but when they see what you're doing, who gets the credit? God gets the credit. That should be the case anyway. And if they give you the credit, well, say thank you very much, but you know, it's not me really. Yeah. There was a lovely, I don't know if the man's a Christian or not, but this illustrates in a way. Just saw the end of the Grand National yesterday.
Oh.
And they were interviewing the owner of the winning horse. And the BBC interviewer, or the ITV, I think it was ITV interviewer, was saying, you've done really well, haven't you? You've done really well. I'm proud. And the man, very humbly, I think, answered. He said, it's not me that did it. It's them and the team. I'm just privileged to be part of the team. That's all.
It's a host of
them. Yeah, exactly. Yeah? Yeah? So, dear friends, you're just the jockey. It's God that gets the glory. He's done the running. Yeah? And so, part of the team being working with you. So, glorify your Father. Now there's a clue. Yeah? Why do sheep do what sheep do? Because they're sheep. And the reason they're sheep is they've got a shepherd. Yeah. Goats don't need shepherds, it would seem. Yeah? Sheep do. They've got a shepherd, our Father. Right, next one please. Two, we need to be born again in order to become the righteous. You've got that, haven't you? You don't know that yet. Jesus declared, this is true. Who did Jesus say this to? I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Nicodemus. Now what do you know about Nicodemus? Nicodemus was a Jewish man, so he's got the right pedigree. He was a Pharisee, so he's got the right position. And he's a religious man. Yeah? So he's got the right religion, he had the right religion as well. Yeah, he's got all these things going for him. And Jesus says to this man, if anybody being asked to fill out a census of who do you think will go to heaven, Nicodemus would have been on the list, wouldn't he? He's a nice guy, he's religious, he does the stuff, he's in the system, he's one of the leaders of the religious people. And Jesus says to him, Nicodemus, you, and he doesn't just mean him, he means a lot of them, you must be born again. And Nicodemus is completely baffled by this, of course. Yeah. And he goes, he's thinking very literally, he says, I can't shrink down and be born again from my mother, can I? No, Jesus, no, you've not got it. You've not got it. You'll be born again by the Spirit, from above. The Holy Spirit puts life into you. So, in order to become righteous, remember what I just said? To be justified, you believe in what God's done through Jesus. Yeah? We call it repentance and faith. Sorry for your sins. Yeah?
Yeah?
Recognize that you've done wrong and need a Savior. And when you find out you're forgiven, relief may be one of the experiences you have too. Isn't that wonderful? That God's willing to take you on. Isn't that amazing? Ah, well, there. So, you need to be born again in order to become the righteous. And how are we born again? Well, there are two things going on. Two things going on, really. God, by his Holy Spirit, starts stirring up things inside you, and you think, I'm not quite right here, yeah? Something's wrong. Yeah? That's God bringing what we call conviction. He's making you realize that you're not as nice and as good and as perfect as you thought you were. Right? And he's bringing this conviction. He begins stirring things up. Yeah? But God does that. God begins to, what we call regenerators. He's making life begin to start in it. But what's your bit in being born again? Because in a way, you don't have, does a baby have a choice in being born again?
No.
Does it, what, midwives?
Well, we have to reach out to the Lord.
The baby does have something to do, doesn't it? It struggles and so on.
Oh yeah, to come into the world.
Yeah, to come into the world.
I was thinking actually of baptism.
Oh, we're not baptising at the moment, no.
No, believers baptism.
Yes. No, I'm using this, the idea of saying being born again. Basically, God's at work. He's stirring things up. But in terms of being born again, you do something as well. You are willing to ask God to forgive your sins and to welcome Jesus into your life. Yeah? And even that is by the grace of God. I mean, you know, God's behind it all. But you play your part in a cooperative way, you could say. And when you do that, the baby begins to squeak. Life is there. We hope. Well, it will. If you do that with the Lord, I guarantee you will be born again. Yes. Ask God for forgiveness. Really? Paul says it. If we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, yeah, if we confess with our mouths, or believe in our heart and confess with our mouths, see, inside and external, we say it, we believe it, you will be saved. Mm-hmm. So, are we all sheep this morning?
Yep.
Yeah, I hope so, yes. Right, next one please. What we do for the Lord, this is the last one, yeah? What we do for the Lord and for others will be blessed. Now, the important thing about this, in chapter 25 of Matthew, when we've been looking at the sheep and the goats, you know, I've heard ministers and other Christians who say, you know, that's what we need, really. It's all about doing nice, good things for people. And they're assuming you don't need the gospel. You just be nice, and that'll be it. You know, that's the gospel of nice. Be nice, and you get to heaven. Yeah? Well, that's a dumb thing to think, because, do you know, there are another 24 chapters in front of chapter 25 telling you what the gospel's about, and what Jesus said people must do in order to respond. No, it's sheep that do sheep things. You've got to become a sheep to do sheep things. But the interesting and important thing is this. And this is God's grace. Again, I've never ceased to be amazed by this. God gives you the strength to do what he wants you to do. And when you do it, he rewards you for it. I mean, that is crazy, isn't it? That is generosity over the limit. But that's my God. He gets you to do what he wants you to do. And when you've done it, he rewards you. My goodness me, that's God for you. An abundant God. So, he says, whatever we do for the Lord or for others will be blessed. And Jesus says this, if any one of you gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he's my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. Now, he doesn't tell us what that is. Can you guess?
Yeah.
If you give me a cup of cold water, I'm one of his little ones, yeah? Or I give you as one of his little ones a cup of cold water because you're thirsty. Right? What reward do I get? He says, I'm going to get rewarded.
To know
I've helped. Yes, so there's a sense of well-being about that, feeling good. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, he's not telling us what the reward is. But the point he's making is, dear friends, you may not feel you're able to do a lot. You may not feel you're important. I think we all get there some days, don't we? No, we don't count in the world's way of thinking. We're not big, we're not important. But God says, you know, even if you do little things for me, I won't forget. That's my God. God's not just made the solar system and the galaxies and the universe. God made the little flies and the little creepy crawlies and the little you and me. And he's the God of the little as well as the God of the big. Isn't that amazing? So he doesn't miss anything. As my sister said earlier on, God knows everything. Mm-hmm. Brothers and sisters, if nobody else noticed what you did, and the wretch that you gave the cold water to didn't even say thank you, don't worry. Mm-hmm. Jesus has put it down on his tick list. One job done for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And so there we are. There's rewards for doing what God wants us to do. I think that is amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Right? And we're not And I say this, you know, we're not doing what we do to collect points. That's not what it's about. We'll get rewards. Thank God for that. Yeah, he's generous. Yeah, but I'm not doing it to get rewards. There's a, I think it's a prayer by St. Francis here. Lord, let me to give, not to count the cost, to labour and not to seek any reward, to do all those things, save for the knowledge of knowing that I do your will. Just doing what he wants me to do. Because I'm a sheep. And sheep do sheep things. Yeah? Carry on, sheep. You're doing well. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, these are awesome truths, Lord. There's a terrible judgment, Lord, for those that reject you. Oh, Lord, help us to share this truth of a merciful, gracious God, willing to save the worst of sinners, Lord. Lord, we're all born goats. Lord, we're all born sinful. And that's where we're heading for, hell. Unless you step in and work in our lives. And I want to say thank you, Lord, that the day ever dawned when I found Jesus. Well, that Jesus found me, Lord. And I say that's true for all of us, Lord, that no one loved you. Thank you, Lord, for being so gracious to us. We acknowledge, Lord, we don't deserve it. But, Lord, you're a God who loves us. So, we say thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.